1 John 1 to 10. So easy just to find John, but it's 1 John. Yes, 1, 2, 2, 5. It's easier. The incarnation of the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Thank you, Simon. I'll enjoy unpacking that.
Let's have a word of prayer before we turn back to the scriptures. Father, thank you for your living and active word, sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, it's your voice that we want to hear. Thank you that you are the God who is always speaking. May our hearts and minds be open and attentive to your word today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before I start in John, just to flag up that from the beginning of February, we're starting an 8-week sermon series looking at the Song of Songs, which is going to be very exciting. I'm getting started preparing and intimacy. When I was praying in the autumn about what our Bible verse for this year should be, I landed on John 13:35. They will know you are my disciples by your love. By your love. And the love that we have for each other, we only have for each other because it's enriched by the love of God who we live with. And then I just had this sort of sense of, I think we need to preach through Song of Songs, which is it's a book of intimacy. It's a book that calls us into intimacy. I've just been reading around, and some of the church fathers and Spurgeon and other great commentators, they describe it as the Holy of Holies. So you think of the temple with its different courts, and you have the court of the Gentiles on the outside and then the court of the Jews. And right in the middle of the temple is the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God resides. And commentators describe the Song of Songs as the Holy of Holies. So we're going to have great fun. And I want to recommend a book by a guy called Charlie Cleverly. The book is called The Song of Songs, Exploring the Divine Romance. So that's the book I'm reading in my kind of preparation, as well as other things. But I would commend it to you if you want to get the best out of the sermon series. Get a copy of Song of Songs by Charlie Cleverly. I put the link in the bulletin. You can get it off Amazon. But that's just to whet your appetite for that. But let's get into 1 John. So last week we did the first four verses. If you're here, if you've listened online, you'll remember that. And we kind of landed at the end of last week with this sense of joy. John writes, we write this to make our joy complete. We write this to make your joy complete. And what makes our joy complete? Well, what makes our joy complete is having fellowship with the Father and the Son. being in union with the Father and the Son. I think I said last week, every other religious system has that as the goal. That's the aim. That's the thing we hope we'll get to one day if we try hard enough. Well, John has found in Jesus that actually that's our present reality because of what Jesus has done for us, this fellowship with God the Father. And we're going to focus this morning on verses 5 to 10 and just unpack that a bit more and think, well, what does that actually mean? And what are the implications for us as we seek to follow Jesus? So picking up in verse 5, John says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." So just think about that for a moment. This is the message we have heard from him. Heard from who? Well, heard from Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Word made flesh. So, you know, sometimes we talk about hearing a message from the horse's mouth. Well, if you want to know something about God, there's no greater horse's mouth than Jesus, the Son of God. The information you get from him is going to be as accurate as it can possibly be. This is the message we've heard from him. Remember last week, the one that we've seen with our eyes, looked at, and our hands have touched. We saw him, we heard him, we listened to him. This one, he told us. We heard it from him, and we declare it to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And remember that for John, this is not just it's not just kind of theory or something he's imagined. It's something that he has experienced. I remember the transfiguration. Let me just read from Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So this is something that John has, you know, not just adopted, he's seen it. John has literally seen Jesus shine brighter than the sun. You can't look at the sun without damaging your eyes. But Peter, James and John saw Jesus in all his glory. The veil was drawn back, and the only way they could describe it was like staring at the sun. So John knows for certainty, he knows that God is light because Jesus has told him and he's seen Jesus revealed as light. In him, there is no darkness at all. That's impossible for us to imagine, because when we look at ourselves and we look at our own lives, there's a mix of light and dark. But in Jesus, there is just light. It's just complete purity. The writer of the Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 forward, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. God is light. Jesus is light. In him there is no darkness at all. When Jesus was tempted, there was nowhere for that temptation to land. There was nothing for it to hook into. In our lives, temptation has places to land. There are shadows in our lives, darkness. I was in Sainsbury's a couple of days ago. And you know, in Sainsbury's, they have the kind of the Lindt chocolate display. You see the Lindt chocolate display, and all the sweets are just there in the different categories, because it's all like the different flavours. And then you take a box, and then you fill the box, and then you put the sticker on, and then you go and pay for it. I was walking past that aisle, and I had a little thought. You know where this is going, don't you? You know where this thought is going. My little thought was, because I was a bit peckish, and the little thought was, I could help myself. I could have a little chocolate and no one would know. No one would know. I could just have a little chocolate and carry on my shopping. You know, the temptation, you know, there was the temptation, but did it have anywhere to land? You'll be glad to know that on this occasion, it did land. There was a time in my life when that temptation was there all the time, and it landed pretty much every time. When I was a kid at school, I would see things that I wanted and I would, well, I'm having that. I know, because there was a place for it to land. In Jesus, there is nowhere for any temptation ever to land. He is perfect light. An extraordinary thing is that we are invited into fellowship with him. We're invited into fellowship with this perfect purity, this perfect light. How does that work? How does that work that you and I can live in perfect union with this God who is perfect purity and perfect light? John goes on, verse 6. If we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So there are two paths that we can walk down in this life. And we can walk down either path, even as we're claiming to follow Jesus. So we can claim to have fellowship with him, this fellowship that John has described, and still walk in darkness. Or we can walk in the light. So what does that look like? If we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to be following Jesus, are we walking in a way that is so intentional that we allow his light to shine on every aspect of our lives? Is there anything in our life that we keep hidden from him? I remember many years ago, I'm sure I've told this story before, when I left school and worked in London, I worked in a student's hostel. And depending on your position within this hostel, you were given a different key. So if you're a student, you just had a key that would get you into your room. There were 5 floors in the building, and each floor had a cleaning team for each floor. And the cleaning team for each floor would have a key which looked exactly the same as the other keys, but it would open every door on that particular floor, so you could get in any room to clean. And if you were on the maintenance team, as I was for some peculiar reason, if you're on the maintenance team, then you had a master key, which looked the same as all the other keys, but it was a master key, and it would get you into any room in the building in case you needed to fix a plug or blow something up, which, as I say, I don't know why it was put on the maintenance team. It was, but anyway, you had a key that would get you into any room in the building, which was a wonderful thing to have if you wanted to play pranks on your friends. Because you could get into their rooms and set things up. Like, I remember one of my friends, he had a false ceiling in his bedroom, so I put alarm clocks above different panels in the false ceiling, timed to go off at 10-minute intervals from about 2 o'clock in the morning. So it would allow you to kind of do that kind of thing. But it was the key that gave you access, to any room in the building. Now, if we walk with Jesus, if we follow Jesus, the intention is he has access to everything. He has access to every area of our lives. The challenge is, often there are aspects of our lives that we don't want to let him in. We say, no, you hands off that, I'm walking with you. And the tragedy is that we see too often those who are claiming fellowship with the Lord Jesus, who have great ministries, who then come crashing down, and we discover that actually they were entertaining darkness. Even while they were claiming to walk in fellowship, there was a darkness that they were entertaining, that they were not allowing to be challenged. And in the end, it all blows up. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. The thing with lies is they're always exposed one way, you know, eventually, one way or another, every lie is exposed. The light shines on it and it's brought into the light. And John says, well, if we're claiming to have fellowship with Jesus, we need to make sure that we are intentional about walking in the light and not keeping anything hidden. The writer of the Hebrews, again, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, since therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The reality is, Jesus is perfect purity. We are not. But we can choose to walk in his light and not entertain darkness. So when we spot darkness in our lives, and there's darkness for all of us in the, you know, so often in the things that we think and we say and we do. Are we intentional about immediately running from those things? Not giving them house room, not allowing them to land. Do we run them through the filter of what Paul reminds us of in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where he says, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's the filter through which all our thoughts and words and deeds should be run through, because they will shine a light on anything that is doesn't reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Any darkness that might be in our lives, if we ask those questions of it, is it true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? If it doesn't meet those things, then we need to bring it before the Lord and let his light shine on it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here's the key. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And it's present tense. It's something that Jesus's blood is doing all the time. Jesus purifies us. So how is it that we're able to have fellowship with this pure light? How are we able to be in union with this perfect holy God when there's darkness in our lives? How is it possible? Well, it's possible because all the time as we're walking with the Lord, his blood protects us and his blood cleanses us. Just a silly little illustration. We've just been, Joel and I have been catching up with old Top Gear specials over the Christmas period, as you do, which may not be your thing, but one Top Gear special, they were driving across the southern United States in these old clapped-out cars, and the temperature is through the roof. It's like 40 degrees, and they're in cars without air conditioning, and they're just literally dripping in sweat. And so at one point, Jeremy Clarkson fixes up in his car a shower above the driver's seat. So he has a shower head above his head in the driver's seat, connected to a pump, connected to a big bottle of water in the boot. So literally as he's driving along, he's just this constant shower of cool water, just showering on him. And that came to mind, as it does in my brain, when I was thinking about what it means to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Because so often in our walk with Jesus, it's kind of, it's stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. You know, we're doing quite well, and then we mess up. And we know that we've sinned, and we come to a juddering halt, and then it's like, oh well, I've got to kind of, you know, I need to address this and I need to sort this out, and then we start off again. But actually, we are constantly walking covered by the blood of Jesus. Paul writes in Colossians that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. When the Father looks at us, he sees his son Jesus. Well, why does he see? He sees his son Jesus because of the blood of Jesus, which covers us. You know, it's a kind of old language these days, isn't it? People used to say to it, you know, "Are you washed in the blood?" It's like, what are you talking about? But you know, there was a day when that kind of made some kind of sense because people knew the language. Are you washed in the blood? And the reality is, as we walk with him, we're continually washed in the blood of Jesus. We're continually forgiven. We're continually purified. But it's about being intentional in walking in the light. Intentional in walking in the light. And the key to this is repentance. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, our focus last week was on just this, the joy of having fellowship with God. The joy of having fellowship. But to get to the joy of having fellowship with God, you've got to face up to the hard truth that without Jesus, and without turning to Jesus, you are lost, and you are lost for eternity. That's the hard truth. It's a hard truth that churches are not so good at proclaiming these days, because it's not very comfortable. Nobody wants to hear that, do they? People want to know that they're, you know, they're loved and they're welcomed and all of that. But the, you know, what was the first thing that John the Baptist said? Repent. The kingdom of God is near. What's the first thing Jesus says, certainly in Mark's gospel? Repent. The kingdom of God is near. What's the first thing Peter says, or one of the things that he says after his first sermon on the day of Pentecost, and people say, well, what should we do in the light of all that Jesus has done? What does he say? He says, repent. That's the key message that the church needs to proclaim. It is repent. You've got to do something. You've got to change. You've got to turn your life around. You've got to start walking towards Jesus. You've got to start walking with Jesus. There is good news. There is fantastic news. You can have fellowship with a holy God. But in order to have fellowship with the holy God, you first got to recognize that you're lost. And there is nothing that you can do to save yourself. It's only by the blood of Jesus that you can be saved and you can be washed. And so, as I've said a number of times before, I quoted this thing a friend of mine said many years ago, repentance is the door to life. Run through it at every opportunity. Repentance is the door to life. Run through it at every opportunity. Why are we're so afraid of repentance? We're so afraid of owning our sin. We're so afraid of confessing our sin. But we need to realise the good news, that actually this is not a problem. Because we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's not a problem to own up to our sin, to each other. We're all flawed. None of us are perfect. We're all making mistakes. But we're washed by the blood of Jesus. Sometimes we have the bravery to, you know, to own up to a small sin. Because we think, oh, that's acceptable. So sometimes we'll own up to the small ones. And we'll keep the big ones hidden. Well, sin is a sin. Own up to them all. Sometimes you need to be careful who you're owning up to. But there's no shame, because Jesus took our shame on the cross. We're purified by him. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, what is God like? He is faithful and just. He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the continual process of Jesus in our lives. That we bring our lives into his light. His light shines on the darkness that we may entertain. And as we see it for what it is, we confess it. And it's dealt with, because it was dealt with on the cross. And we needn't be afraid of God. We needn't be afraid of his reaction, of what he's going to do. Because we know what he's going to do. He's going to be faithful and he will be just. There will be a punishment for the sin that we confess. But Jesus took it on the cross. So God is just. There is a punishment for sin. His son Jesus took it. And when we confess before him, we are purified from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. His word has no place in our lives. So that's the hard truth that we're thinking about this morning is, it's just owning the fact that we sin, owning the fact that there is a darkness in us and will be until we go to glory. But that doesn't mean we can't be in fellowship with the Father and his Son. We can be in fellowship with the Father and Son because of what Jesus has done for us. And that's what we have to recognise. So this morning, I just wanted to just encourage us as we think about walking with Jesus, to be intentional about allowing him access to every area of our lives. Maybe there are things in our lives that we just know we feel uncomfortable with, that we wish were different, and we need to bring them. And let Jesus' light shine on them and just give him the key to that room of our lives that we've kept him shut out of. To allow him to have access, to allow his blood to wash over that, whatever it may be. So that's my challenge. We're going to have an opportunity now just to respond, and for us, just in our own way, to say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to walk in your light. I want you to have access to every area of my life. And I am going to give an invitation this morning. If as your kind of declaration to do that, we're going to sing a song or two in a moment, but as we do that, if you'd like just to be anointed with oil this morning, just as a sign of your declaration at the beginning of this new year, that, Lord, I want to bring whatever darkness there might be in my life, I want to bring it into the light. I want to walk intentionally with you. Then I'd love just to anoint you with oil in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing I Will Offer Up My Life as a song of response. Feel free to stay sitting as we sing, or if you want to stand. And once we've sung a little bit, if you'd like just to come forward, if you'd like me to anoint you with oil, just as a sign and a seal of your declaration before the Lord this morning of I want to walk intentionally in the light and bring all of my life into the light. So let me pray, and then we'll sing, and then if you would like to come forward, please do that. So, Father, thank you that even as we are sitting here this morning, we are in union with you because of the blood of Jesus. And this year, we want to walk in your light more and more and more. We know that there are areas of our lives where temptation still has an opportunity to land. And Father, we want more and more to rid ourselves of those landing places as we let your light shine. And so, Father, this morning we come before you and offer our lives in response. In Jesus' name.